let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God. Singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible in Living Sound.
In the headquarters of Lucifer, there was excitement and bedlam. He had just returned from the Garden of Eden.
All right, quiet! Quiet, you imps of darkness! When I speak to you, obey! Immediately.
When you were next in command to the Son of God in heaven, we would have obeyed you, Lucifer, but no longer. Now you're cast out of heaven, and we, the foolish angels who believed you, no longer respect you. We hate you and your lying tongues.
Oh, well said, imp. As my kingdom is one of hate, lies, and murder, you are a fitting citizen of my kingdom, subject of my rule. Now gather around, all you fallen angels, and I will give my report of what happened in the Garden of Eden.
Adam and Eve joined forces with us, I suppose.
That's just what happened.
Lies, lies.
You think so? Listen to this! All you angels of darkness, I am now Prince of this world, God of this earth.
By whose authority?
God himself. He gave dominion of this earth to Adam, and I took it from Adam. He and Eve chose me as their ruler.
Willingly.
No one forced them to choose me.
You lied to them, told them a lot of false premises and empty promises.
Well, of course I did. They believed me. And the point, fellow beings of the deep, is simply this. By virtue of the fact that of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Adam and Eve are now in bondage to me. I am their ruler. I have complete dominion of this earth, and you know what that means. It means that I have won the controversy with God. Soon I shall take over God's throne and rule the universe.
You have made that empty promise before Satan.
My name is Lucifer!
Yes, sir! Lucifer, ruler of the universe.
Yes, that's better. Now, doers of evil, we have work to do. Something happened in the Garden of Eden that I don't quite understand. It happened soon after Adam and Eve obeyed my voice instead of the voice of God. God pronounced a judgment on the serpent and the ground and upon Eve. Then he said something involving me. His exact words were these. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel.
What does that mean?
I'm not sure. I think it has something to do with trying to stop me from depraving human nature. Somehow man may be able to resist my power.
Man has already yielded to you. How can they resist you now?
That's what we're going to find out. I want you to assign your best operatives to keep Adam and Eve under constant surveillance.
Me?
You're my first lieutenant, aren't you?
Yes.
All right, then, let's get going. Report to me everything that is said or done. Sooner or later, God will explain about the bruising of head and heel to Adam and Eve. I want to know exactly what is said. Understand?
Yes, Chief. You're right, Chief. An explanation was given to Adam and Eve, and I'll bet you can't guess who's going to get his head bruised.
I am. I knew that much. Who is going to get his heel bruised? That's the part that puzzles me. Obviously, it's someone descended from Adam and Eve. But who
could... Could it be the Son of God?
The Son of God? The Creator? It's his heel I'm going to bruise?
That's what was told Adam and Eve.
Anything else?
No, that's all.
Now hurry back there and keep spying. I want to know more.
Yes!
Oh, you say the Son of God is going to come to this world in human form.
That's what they were told, Chief.
Oh, fine, fine. The Son of God is going to lower himself by coming to this earth as a human. Then I will have him under my direct control. As a human, he will not be able to resist my cunningly devised lies. The Son of God exalted. Perhaps he was, but he won't be when he comes to this earth. He will yield to me, and I shall be exalted. Now hurry, back to the Garden of Eden. I don't want to miss a thing. Oh. Yes, yes, what do you want?
I found out why the Son of God is coming to this earth as a human.
Yes? Why?
He's going to redeem the earth, gain back its dominion given to Adam and lost to you.
You mean he's going to try to, but he won't succeed? How does he think he can resist me when other humans can't?
That isn't all.
No?
He's going to save mankind.
Save them from what?
You! from their sins, from your lies, your evil, your wickedness, above all, your rule. It's all called the plan of salvation.
Oh, this gets better and better.
You aren't fearful that the plan of salvation will succeed?
With me at the helm opposing the plan, it hasn't a chance of success. I am the master of humans. In human form, even the Son of God will be in my power.
If he wants to save mankind from your beguiling lies and evil ways, why doesn't he just change his laws so man will no longer be guilty of transgression?
Change his laws? Oh, I wish he would. That's what I've been trying to get him to do. If he does change his laws, any of them, in the slightest degree ever, then I will win the controversy because he will have done what I want him to do.
Want me to go back to the Garden of Eden and spy some more?
From now on, we have to be on the constant watch to discover, ahead of time, just when and where the Son of God will appear in human form. In the meantime, I shall devise a diabolic plan to handle him when he does appear. Get back there to Adam right now and keep me informed.
So, the Son of God is going to shed his heavenly power and glory and come here to my kingdom.
Chief, I have some news for you. Adam and Eve, because they yielded to your wiles, can no longer commune directly with God. Messengers are commissioned to be the means by which... A few minutes ago, Chief, Adam and Eve pleaded with God to place the penalty of their sin directly upon themselves and not upon the Son of God. They pleaded that the Son of God be not permitted to suffer and die. A new ceremony has been instigated to herald the coming of the Son of God. A lamb is to be sacrificed. Chief, Adam and Eve have had a recreation of themselves, a baby born. Say, Chief, today the angel came to Adam and Eve. Today, Chief.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow, and if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible and Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234.
Okay, voice recorder on. This is Kim again with my daily diary for health class. I'm supposed to say what I did today to keep healthy. Well, today, I slept. No, I didn't sleep during the day because I was at school and my teachers don't like students sleeping in class. No, I didn't sleep during lunch break because today was curry rice day and I love curry rice. And no, I didn't sleep during band practice because I had a clarinet solo and my band teacher knows the difference between a clarinet and snoring. Although sometimes my clarinet sounds very much like snoring. I slept last night. I went to bed early and didn't wake up until my brother Carlos ran into the wall this morning. He does that a lot, especially when he's playing with our dog, Alexander. No one can sleep through that. Sleeping is important to my health because if I don't get a good night's sleep, I'm all tired and grouchy the next day. I can't concentrate in school and my grades go down. This makes my mom and dad upset because I'm supposed to be the smart one in the family. Carlos could be the smart one in the family if he'd stop running into walls. To make sure I get a good night's sleep, I relax in the evening and don't do stuff that would keep me awake, like eating a lot of food or exercising very hard right before I go to bed. I read a book or listen to my favorite music for a while. Then I say goodnight to everyone and drift off to dreamland. Oh, I love sleeping. As a matter of fact, that's what I'm going to do right now. Good night.
God has given us everything we need to be healthy inside and out. During Creation Week, he established a health plan for every creature on Earth. To learn more about healthy living and about the God who created us all, go to kidsbibleinfo.com. That's kidsbibleinfo.com. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 9, Bear. Dee Dee had never, ever seen a bear in the wild before. She had only seen bears in zoos behind cages, but there in the trail right in front of her was a black bear. Dee Dee's eyes got as big as saucers. "Shorty, it's a bear!" she yelled. But Shorty's horse didn't like seeing bears up close any more than Dee Dee did. Before anyone knew what was happening, Shorty's horse reared up on its hind legs, bucked a couple of times, and charged down the mountain. "Whoa!" Shorty yelled. But it was already too late. Shorty did a backward somersault off his horse and landed on his legs not too far from Angel and Dee Dee. As soon as Shorty hit the ground, he yelled and toppled over on his side. The confused bear took one look at all the commotion and ran as fast as it could in the opposite direction. Dee Dee held tight onto Angel's reins and tried to speak calmly. "Whoa, whoa, whoa, Angel," Dee Dee said. There was still a high squeak in her voice, but she thought she sounded pretty calm. Finally, Angel settled down. With Zack in one arm, Dee Dee hopped down beside Shorty. Chris and Sammy hopped out of their saddles, too, and crowded around. Shorty acted like he didn't want to get up. Dee Dee knelt down. "Are you all right, Shorty?" Shorty shook his head. "I don't think so. I think my leg is broken." All of a sudden, Dee Dee's heart began beating twice as fast as normal. Are you sure?" she stammered, trying to get the words out. Shorty grimaced. "Yes, I'm sure, Dee Dee. I don't think it's too bad of a break, but I can't walk and I sure can't ride." Even though she had her best friends with her, Dee Dee still felt scared. "Now what do I do?" she wondered. And then she thought of something her dad had told her. "If something happens and you are scared, tell yourself to be calm. You can think much better if you are calm." Dee Dee told herself to be calm. She took a deep breath. "Wow, I feel better already. It really works." Then she thought of something else her dad had told her to do if she ever got scared. "Dear Jesus, please help me know what to do. All of us need your help right now." Dee Dee opened her eyes. Jenny and Sammy were looking at her. They smiled. They knew she had been praying. "What do you want us to do?" Shorty thought for a moment. "You know, there's a cave just a few yards away. It's not a very deep cave, but the mouth of it is wide. There's just enough of an overhang to stay out of the sun, and the rock walls will reflect the heat of a fire and keep us warm." Chris was kneeling beside Shorty. "How do we move you, Mr. Wilson?" "That's a good question," Shorty said. "First, we better immobilize my leg." "What does immobilize mean?" Jenny asked. "It means to put a splint on my leg to keep it from moving," Shorty replied. "First, find a straight, sturdy stick. Then we'll tie it onto my leg." Willie was still on Smokey. He backed Smokey up and began searching for a stick from horseback. The way he leaned over in the saddle and examined the ground, he looked like a scout from an old Western movie. "I found one," Willie yelled. He pointed at the ground. "It's right here beside this fallen log." Chris got the stick and laid it beside Shorty's leg. "What do we do now?" he asked. "First, I need a way to tie the stick to my leg." Chris frowned. "I've got it," Sammy interrupted. "Chris, you and I can use our belts." "That's a good idea, Sammy," Shorty said. Dee Dee and Chris did everything Shorty told them to do. Chris held the stick against Shorty's leg while Dee Dee gently wrapped the belts around both Shorty's leg and the stick. It was hard to tighten the belts without hurting Shorty, though. Every time Shorty grunted because of the pain, Dee Dee stopped. "Go ahead, Dee Dee," Shorty encouraged her. "You're doing a very good job. Maybe you should think about being a doctor someday." Dee Dee smiled. "Do you really think I could?" "Sure do," Shorty replied. While Chris and Dee Dee finished putting the splint on Shorty's leg, Sammy, Jenny, and Maria led the horses over to the cave and tied them up. Then they gathered wood and built a fire to keep Shorty warm after it got dark. While everyone else was busy, Willie thought he glimpsed Shorty's horse a little way down the trail, so he rode down to check it out. He returned leading Shorty's horse. Once the splint was put on Shorty's leg, the shoebox kids gathered around and helped him stand up. Then they helped him keep his balance as he hopped and skipped over to the cave. Dee Dee thought they looked about as coordinated as a bunch of clowns all trying to go in different directions. At the cave, they gently helped Shorty lie on the ground. "Thank you," Shorty said. "I'm glad you all are here to help me, but now it looks like you kids will have to go back to the resort for help." "By ourselves?" Dee Dee asked. Shorty chuckled. "It certainly doesn't look like I'll be much help. I know you can do it, and if you run into Ruth Thompson or her brother, Eagle Feather, they can help you find your way back, too. If anyone can get you back to Wild Horse Mountain Lodge, Eagle Feather can. He probably knows this country better than anyone." "But he's the kidnapper," Dee Dee said before she could stop herself. She remembered the strange marks on the ground and knew they were made by Eagle Feather's moccasins. Shorty chuckled, then coughed. "No, Eagle Feather isn't the kidnapper. For a while, I also thought Eagle Feather was guilty, but I couldn't prove it, so I didn't accuse him." Dee Dee frowned. "That's not what I did. I was sure he was guilty, even when I didn't have any proof." "You thought he was a suspect, but you didn't have a right to say he was guilty unless you could prove it," Shorty said. He shifted his body to get more comfortable. "When you and Willie said you saw an Indian in the bushes yesterday when Apache got scared, I finally realized that Eagle Feather was not the one who had been trying to kidnap Zack. He had gone with his mother to town the day before yesterday, since it was her day off." Something clicked in Dee Dee's head. "I remember Eagle Feather mentioned that he was with his mother. He couldn't have been the kidnapper then, but I found his footprints everywhere the kidnapper was." "How many people wear moccasins around here?" she wondered. Shorty frowned. "I have a confession. It was my fault your trap with the camera didn't work today." It took a few seconds for what Shorty said to sink in. Dee Dee narrowed her eyes at him. "What do you mean it was your fault? You mean you got in the way on purpose?" Shorty nodded. "If your trap had worked, then Ruth Thompson and not her brother Eagle Feather would have been caught." "But that's exactly what I was trying to do, catch the kidnapper," Dee Dee huffed. Shorty smiled. "That's true, I guess. You were hot on the trail, but I wanted to talk to Ruth before you caught her so I could tell her that I knew what she was up to. So when I saw you tie Zack to the tree instead of take him down to the lake, I figured you had probably set a trap for the kidnapper." "All this time I thought Eagle Feather was the kidnapper," Dee Dee thought. "But why was Ruth trying to kidnap Zack?" Then something Shorty had just said made her stop and think. "What do you mean? Do you know why Ruth was trying to kidnap Zack?" Shorty's blue eyes danced. He nodded. "Yes, I believe I do know why she did it. It's just an idea, though. Maybe through your investigation, you can find out what her motive was." Chris had just brought in a load of wood for the fire. He looked from Dee Dee to Shorty. "So you aren't going to tell us?" "No." Dee Dee didn't know what to say. She had been so close to catching the kidnapper in the act. "You won't tell us?" she repeated. "Sorry," Shorty said, shaking his head. "This is a mystery that is best left up to you to solve." Once Shorty was made as comfortable as possible, Dee Dee gathered the shoebox kids around. "I think some of us should stay here with Shorty until help arrives," she told them. Chris nodded. "I'll stay here and keep Zack with me." "So will we," Jenny and Maria said. Dee Dee looked at Willie. "Do you want to go with me? I'm going to need someone along who knows how to handle horses." Willie smiled. "Yep, count me in, podner." Dee Dee laughed. "You sound just like a real cowboy." "I'll go too," Sammy said, adjusting his cowboy hat. Dee Dee looked at the sky. "It's getting dark faster than I thought it would. We better get going." "Dee Dee, come here." Shorty was up on his elbow. "Remember that the horses have been over these trails many times. They know the way home, and that's where they'll go if you let them." Dee Dee knelt down beside Shorty. "I'll try to remember," she said. "I'm telling you this because it can get so dark in these mountains that you can't see your hand in front of your face, much less the trail. You'll just have to trust the horses to get you home." Shorty's face got really white, like he was in a lot of pain. He sank back down on the ground. Dee Dee put her hand on Shorty's arm. "I'm going to trust in Jesus most of all to watch over us, and you too." "Thank you, Dee Dee. Say, you kids wouldn't mind praying with an old wrangler before you go, would you?" Shorty asked. The shoebox kids all smiled at once. Everyone knelt down where Shorty lay as Dee Dee said the prayer. Dear Jesus, we're all a little scared. Would you help us? Sammy, Willie, and I need to get help for Shorty. And most of all, Shorty's leg hurts a lot. Would you help him feel better? Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. When everyone's eyes opened again, the shoebox kids could see a tear in Shorty's eye. They knew it wasn't because his leg hurt. They knew it was because Shorty wanted to know Jesus better. Chris untied Angel and tightened the cinch for Dee Dee. He held on to Angel's bridle while Dee Dee mounted up. Thank you, Chris, Dee Dee said. Chris smiled at Dee Dee to help her feel better. You're welcome. You guys be careful, okay? We will, Sammy, Willie, and Dee Dee all said together as they turned their horses toward the trail. Please watch Zach carefully for me, Chris, too, Dee Dee added before she left. I will. Willie took the lead on Smokey. He looked at the gray sky and remembered how fast it got dark in the mountains when the sun went down. He tried to find the moon, but there was no moon. Willie's stomach suddenly felt like it was tied in a big knot. I hope we can still see the trail when it gets dark, he said. Dee Dee was riding second. Maybe we'll get back before it gets too dark. I don't think we have enough time, Sammy said. It took us almost 2 hours to ride as far as the cave. We only have about half an hour of light left. Sammy's right, Dee Dee thought. We don't have enough time. If only Shorty's horse hadn't spooked, we would all be safe and sound with our families. Dee Dee, Willie, and Sammy rode through the trees and brush without talking. The woods seemed to be getting strangely quiet. Dee Dee hoped it was so quiet because the birds were tired out from singing all day and all the other animals were tired from playing and had gone to bed. She watched Angel's ears. Her right ear went forward, then her left ear went backward. Angel's hearing was so good she could hear things in the mountains Dee Dee couldn't hear at all. But Angel didn't seem to be concerned. If Angel isn't worried, she thought, then I guess I shouldn't be so worried either. Suddenly, Sammy's horse kicked a rock that went bouncing off into the bushes. Dee Dee jerked straight up. She had gotten so used to rocking in the saddle as Angel plodded along that the rock startled her. It was just a rock, Sammy said. I thought it was another bear or something. Dee Dee twisted around to look at Sammy. It was so dark she could barely see Sammy even though he was riding only 10 feet away. Are you okay? Sammy nodded. Yeah, I sure wish we were back at the cabins, though. So do I, Dee Dee said. The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 10, Adventure on Wild Horse Mountain, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.